This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com. Don't forget to mention the FitCast when you place your order. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 143. I'm Kevin Larrabian. With me this week is Jonathan Fass of AcceleratedStrength.com. What's up, doctor?
What up, yo?
How you been?
Chillin'. Chillin', top billin'.
What up, Lee from LeeThiel.com?
What up, Kevin?
How's it going, Lee? How many times did we say what up last week?
There's a few.
I don't know, but now people in my life are doing it to me.
Did they say your full name every time they'd say it?
Yeah, but you know, people say my full name a lot, and I don't understand why, but it's a common thing for people to be like Leepil or Leppel Hill or whatever freaking variation that they've decided to have of my name. Yep.
Sounds like that should be like a battle, like the battle for Leppel Hill. It was like, it was the great turning point of the Civil War, the battle for Leppel Hill. You know, something like that.
Every time I hear it now, that's what I'm going to think. I'm going to think of your narration.
Thanks.
And I will smile.
Uh-huh. Mm. And somewhere an angel will get its wings.
What up, Kevin?
What up, Lee? This is really bad. It's starting to turn into that scene on Entourage where Seth Green just kept saying, what up to E? What up, E?
What up, E?
Dude, Sloan, man, oh my god, she's hot.
Yeah, our HBO got taken off. We got to redo it.
Oh, your free trial ended?
Yeah.
Hey, this sounds like off-topic discussion.
Whatever. You had your fascinating off-topic discussion about some kind of show that no one heard of.
I dropped an F-bomb in the off-topic, so just a heads up to everyone.
Yes.
One F-bomb.
He's not editing it out.
Nope.
He's not. He's defiantly.
I'm standing up. Oh, okay.
Are you really?
I'm actually standing up right now as we talk, yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't have a treadmill that I can walk on. The treadmill that we have is 14 years old, and it sounds like a vacuum cleaner when you turn it on, so I can't necessarily do that. So anyways, I want to talk about a couple things before we get it. We have a huge, huge mailbag this week. It's just...
Huge.
Yeah, it is with a Y, and we're going to get into that. But first, I want to talk about a blog post that got quite a bit of commentary on it that sports a picture of me when I was really fat and holding my now like 9-year-old golden retriever when he was a puppy. So it's a double whammy in that picture. But did you guys see that picture? That was
I physically melted. Like I physically melted
from the dog.
I pulled over people. Like, I didn't see it coming. Like, my day wasn't prepared for that. And I melted.
So, anyways, I kind of requested for people to write their stories because I think it's kind of cool to listen to some of the, whatever you want to call it, transformation stories or life-changing stories from our listeners. And since that we didn't get a chance to mention on the show, I want to give people one more week to kind of go to that blog post and kind of post your story. And what we'll do is we'll kind of go through all the stories and then we will pick a winner, or not necessarily a winner, but the, you know, kind of like the story that we pick, and we will all pick one and I'll shoot all three people a t-shirt. And there's some very, very cool stories, like some very emotional stories in there. So thanks for everyone who's been participating so far. But yeah, check that out. I'll put a link in the show notes. So for people who don't know, the show notes are what's the notes that I post when I post the episode on thefitcast.com. We can email about that, so I'm going to clear that up real quick. Hey, we had a request for how to donate to the podcast, so I put a donation tab on the upper right-hand side. Obviously, we've kind of talked about like how to monetize a podcast. You can't really do it. So if people feel the need to kind of help support the cause or whatever you want to call it, that's how you can do it. You can just donate through PayPal on thefakecast.com. And thanks for everyone who suggested the idea on Facebook and for those of you who donated already. What's next as I click around? Just want to give a shout-out to Seth Gibson, one of my online clients who just deadlifted 500 pounds on the Trapar. Congratulations to Seth, and finish up the new Halo game so I can play that. Thanks. No commentary there. Hey, guys, I ordered some books and some DVDs and some VHSs. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't order VHSs. But I ordered some books. Elite has been having some really cool sales on their website at EliteFTS.com, and I've spent like a crap ton of money there in the last few weeks. Great job by Dave to offer me free T-shirts, free shipping, and percentages off books. So I picked up one of the standstills or one of the main books that everyone should have in their library, at least trainers, which is Super Training. Nice. What did I get? Some Russian training manuals. I thought that would be interesting to go through, and they're pretty cheap.
Is it in Russian?
Nope. it's not, John. Mm. That wouldn't make sense.
It could make sense. Maybe you speak Russian. There's so many things I don't know about you, Kevin Larrabee.
You know, although I have love for Mother Russia, I don't... It pretty much just stems from the Hunt for Red October, and that's where it ends. It stays there.
You have a Sean Connery accent, Fess.
I do.
Red October, standing by.
Yes. Hold them out now, dog.
That's a Family Guy reference, too. But yeah, hopefully I'm going to be posting reviews to that. I also reviewed Under the Bar, Dave Tate's book. Awesome book, inspirational book, from a lot of the lessons that he's learned through powerlifting and life. There's some business stuff in there too, which is all good. I just reviewed Nick Tuminello's two warm-up progression DVDs, Volume 1 and 2, which I thought were outstanding. Definitely check those out. And I think... Oh, I also picked up Alan Aragon's Girth Control. I don't know why the hell I never picked that up when it came out like 2 years ago, but it's fantastic. Alan's stuff is, you know, borderline brilliant, and it's very easy to read, and he explains everything, and he breaks down everything, and it's a great companion to the research review because he does go pretty in-depth, and it would have been great if I read the section on research before that roundtable a couple weeks ago. I would have probably had more to contribute, but what up, Lee?
What up, Kevin?
I want to ask you what is up at theleepeel.com. John, I would give you this segment too, this opportunity, but
you don't post.
No, you don't do anything, man.
Yeah, I work 70 hours.
I heard a beat.
Son of a gun.
Oh wow. So what's up with me? You know, not much. It's pretty much a standard week for leepeel.com. I had an article that I was going to put on my blog, but I think I'm actually going to give it to Mr. Alan Aragon for his research review on shock nutrition, and it kind of discussed Food Inc. a little bit, which is, from what I'm thinking, a completely different take than from what everybody else's take is on it. Let's see, what else? I'm just probably going to ramble about... Oh, you know what? I am writing about More to Love, which is a little different for me, but I think it's going to be funny. That TV show where the overweight people are doing the Bachelorette thing. Anyone?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Is it the guy who lost 600 pounds and is starting to date people?
No. What it is, it's like a Bachelor, right? It's like the Bachelor, but for like overweight people. So like you've got like this big like 300 pound guy who is picking amongst all these.
Oh yeah.
So I'm watching it for research on human character and the things that they say about weight, and it's really interesting. It's gold, actually. And I'm writing about it. So that's going to be on my blog.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's about it. All right. What up, Kevin?
Not much, Lee. I'm doing the fit cast right now. I'll talk to you later, though. So,
lame.
Just really some quick housekeeping stuff before we get into the mailbag. Mark sent me an email this morning, actually, about a video of Tracy Anderson. We're going to watch that during the break, and then we're going to talk about that. It's a very short clip. And also, Rick Bennett said, a while back, you had a bet with Dr. Fast about which team, Yankees or Red Sox, would be doing better by the All-Star break. Whoever lost had to give up something. For you, it would have been the Spike Shooters. Will you settle this on the next show, Rick? Do you remember this, John? I remember the bet, and I think I won. So
yeah, you did.
So
yeah,
I think you're gonna have to. What was Still was it? $25 donation to a charity? Was that what
nah
it was?
50?
Oh, 50. So it, you know, the Kevin Larrabee Foundation for Healing and Achieving. I just started it, and you can be the first donation if you want to send it there, or you can send it to some other.
No, nope. I'm donating to puppies.
For the cure? Puppies for the cure?
Yeah, ASPCA. Or maybe I'll just go straight to a shelter. Donate there.
For real?
Yeah.
All right, done deal.
Cool.
Thanks, John. So there you go, Rick. And I think that is it. All right. Well, we'll be right back. We're going to watch a video of Tracy Anderson. And
she looks like she's on a trapeze or something.
So, and this is the deal. Everyone has to, before they listen to this part, you have to go to the show notes and watch the video first and then listen to our discussion. All right. And then you can email next week. We'll be right back.
That's the deal.
John, you always have to have a last word.
I did that on purpose. All right, now I'm going to watch this.
No, we're going to take a break right now. If you want to get the best tasting, highest quality protein powder out there, you got to go to blackstarlabs.com. Now with new discounted prices, so you can save more than ever. Okay, we're back. We just watched a fantastic video from New York One's local news station on the celebrity fitness instructor, Tracy Anderson, who has opened up the Tribeca studio. And I'm going to go to our FitCast correspondent, Lee Peel, for the latest. Lee, what do you got?
I'm completely redirecting this to Jonathan Fast because I just want to hear what he has to say so badly.
John.
He's in shock, Kevin. He's in shock.
People balancing on a bar. When you're 4 years old and you try to pull that crap in the playground, your mother yells at you for being stupid. And she's got people balancing on bars for $900 a month so that she can knit the muscles. Oh, God.
Well, you got to knit the muscles, dude. You have
And she's going to recreate the muscular structure.
Oh, too bad she can't knit herself a brain.
She knitted those lips.
Oh, my God. Allegedly. Allegedly, allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly.
Damn it. Why do we bother? Seriously, why do we bother?
I just love how it's frozen on her inside of this cube of pipe.
Yeah, she's got a gym inspired by Tetris. Oh my God.
She should meet the guy who makes the triangles on Seinfeld. And this is, you know, I'm going to say that Kathy Drexel, very good looking woman. She's the health and fitness reporter for New York One.
Yeah.
We should definitely. Let's see. Do you want me to say if I can get her on the show and have her talk about this? Do you think she'd do that?
I would, yes.
I would die.
Okay.
I would.
I don't mean it's like a hostile thing. I think.
Yeah, no. Like to try to explain to her why this is idiotic and to give our side of things or something.
All right. I'm going to see if I can get her email right now.
Jeez.
They got to have her email on the website. She's a reporter.
Yeah, that's not like that's just. Yeah, it's not her fault.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it is. I'm more or less saying, like, I'm curious if she thinks it's like the real deal, or if someone was like, "Hey, Tracy Anderson will get us an audience."
Wow.
I'll find it.
Oh, but, there's in the corner exercises with rollers.
I saw that.
Away stress. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wow, Tracy Anderson, good for you. $900 a month. Anyone that pays that, they get what they deserve. Wow. I mean, what are you just supposed to do? With that, just... Wow. All right, first question.
Yeah, and it can't be that fair for her because she's her degree is in journalism.
Yeah.
And she did go to Columbia, which is a very nice school.
Yeah. Cool. I went for a year.
Hey, guys. I'm going to open up the mailbag. Hold on. Let me open it up real quick. All right, I'm just going to pull this out.
Wow. That's the high-quality special effects that our listeners have come to expect from the FitCast.
Damn right.
Oh, hold on. Oh, my dog's trying to get in my room.
These are those things that they leave the comments about in the review section on iTunes.
Yeah.
Great sound effects. 5 stars. Kevin Mullins, just on a related note, said, "Nice site. Just found it after seeing Tracy Anderson for the first time on CBS Early Show. I searched for, quote, Tracy Anderson workout bullshit, and your site came up first." Oh, well, oh, damn it. I'll edit it out. Oh, whoops. Hold on. All right, so, yeah, if you actually go into Google and you type in Tracy Anderson workout BS, but the full word, we're number one.
That's awesome. We rank for that.
Yeah.
We're doing something in the world.
Leah, I got a question for you from Laura.
Well, shoot it my way, Kevin.
First off, I admire your work and appreciate that you're always on a path towards self-improvement. I'm a 55-year-old female, 5'4" and 180 pounds. I have been eating clean, weighing and measuring all my food, and maintaining a calorie range of 1,200 to 1,400 calories with a 40-30-30 split. I'm going to guess that's protein, fat, and carbohydrates. I'm doing 3 days of total body high rep weight training and 3 days of interval cardio for about 45 to 60 minutes, 6 days a week with one rest day. I am changing my workouts every 3 weeks and feel like I am doing everything by the book. Nevertheless, the scale hasn't budged. I dropped 2 inches the first 2 weeks and I've seen no progress in the scale or my measurements in the last 3 weeks. What gives? I've had my thyroid checked and the doctor relayed that everything is normal. I'm feeling frustrated and could really use some help. Thanks in advance for any insight you can offer. Sincerely, Laura.
Well, you know, one, you're a 55-year-old female, and that usually means that you're going to be a little bit more prone to water retention and weight training, localized edema and sensitivity and things like that. So it doesn't mean that you're going to be holding on to an extreme amount of water, but when you're at a calorie range that you're at, which is 12 to 1400, remember that may or may not be extreme for you. That could be a moderate deficit of maybe a pound a week loss. And if you're losing at roughly a pound a week loss, and you have just even the slightest bit of like water retention or any sort of sensitivities to glycogen retention, which happens as well, then you're not going to see any scale weight loss it can be upwards to 8 to 10 weeks at a deficit rate like that. So, you said that you've lost some inches. There is stuff obviously happening. It's only been 3 weeks. Your doctor says that you're fine. So everything says to me that you're really not doing anything wrong. You're doing high rep weight work and you're doing interval cardio. I don't know what kind of intervals you're doing, but it could be a little too much and it could be causing you to retain a little bit more water from the stress and strain of the workouts, especially if you're on lower calories. You're saying you're doing it for about 45 to 60 minutes 6 days a week, roughly, is your training. Maybe taking an extra rest day, allow your time, body to rest a little bit more. You're 55. It doesn't mean that you can't do things, but it does mean that you're going to have to pay attention to rest a little bit more. Take age and training experience into consideration. So with all those things being said, I think that you're probably just cloaking. It's more than likely you're cloaking, but make sure that you I've got a good gauge of your activity level and how many calories you're burning in a day. Give it a little bit more time before you completely freak out and start, you know, looking at gluten-free diets and elimination diets and thinking that you have to find some sort of health problem that may or may not exist. I think that there is change. You just need to give it a little bit more time to show. You could work with your calories and knock them down a little bit more and just pick up light activity and see if that would work for you or not. But I think more than anything, you're probably on the right track. You're just cloaking and needing a whoosh to come of water to drop. So I'd give it a little bit more time and before I'd freak out. So I think that that's pretty much it. So John, here's a question for you. In the latest Mythbusters article on T-Nation, Mark Young discussed how muscle weakness may not actually be due to a weak muscle. He mentioned how the thoracic nerve in the neck can cause shoulder weakness, and I tried the exercises he recommended, and it worked instantly. I was able to do shoulder presses and side lateral raises for the first time in a long time. I was wondering if John could elaborate on this issue and if there is any other exercises that I should be doing or avoiding to help get my shoulder stronger. On a side note, what actually happens to you when you throw out your arm while playing softball? Is there anything that I can do immediately to regain arm strength after this happens? Thanks, Eddie from New York.
Yeah, that was an interesting little like mini article about from Mark Young. And I'd love, you know, Mark, if you happen to listen, send me an email because I'd like to discuss those ideas. It's true in the sense that, you know, obviously nerves supply the muscle and it's what how the central nervous system will turn a muscle on or off. And if you have an impingement or damage to a nerve, then you absolutely will have muscle wasting and strength loss. I don't know that I would really say that it's going to be that common though. So we do see that. We'll see. And the long thoracic nerve, which is what he was discussing, that innervates the serratus anterior, can be damaged pretty easily because it's a superficial nerve. If you can kind of palpate that nerve too, and you'll actually feel it along as it interdigitates into the serratus. You probably will feel some pain if you have a true nerve interruption or damage to that nerve or impingement. Not always with the long thoracic nerve, but you probably would. And you'll also probably see a lot of very obvious signs of nerve damage, very significant scapular winging, and that'll be asymmetrical. So like what, you know, maybe your right shoulder blade really wings out a lot and the left one doesn't at all. So when you see stuff like that, that's indicative that, well, it's not indicative of a nerve damage, but it kind of puts you in that direction. You're going, okay, something's going on here. So I don't know that I would necessarily, that wouldn't be my first place to look if I have weakness. Also with damage in this sense, in this interest, instant, wow, I can't speak all of a sudden. You're probably going to see deficit in strength in a very particular range of motion. For the serratus anterior, as you do an overhead press, it's usually the last 30 degrees of overhead press movement. That's when the serratus really kicks in for that superior rotation. So that's another tip that you might say, maybe this is more than just weakness because it's very specific in a range. But yeah, so having said that, the exercise, what he mentions kind of stabilizing your shoulder. And if you can suddenly press more, then there's going to be a he goes on to talk about instability at the joint, at the AC joint specifically, I think he had mentioned. I don't know that I agree with that, to be honest with you. AC joint or any instability at any joint, if you've got instability at a joint, most likely it's a result of trauma. And if that's the case, then you know you're unstable. Pain will shut down a muscle. It's one of the easiest ways to shut a muscle down. If you just happen to be loose ligamentally at a joint, that's your natural position. Your body doesn't detect that as a bad thing because this is the way that you operate. That's it's the same kind of thing as people that are, you know, quote unquote double jointed. That just means they have laxity at their joint. So your body has proprioceptive input that tells it where it's positioned. And if this is your natural place, then there's no malpositioning, and therefore there's not going to be any issue of shutting down because of instability. Now, having said that, anytime you add stability to a joint, you will increase your body's ability to use force. That's why guys do overhead presses while sitting down in a chair. I mean, if you think about it, it really doesn't make any sense except that you're stabilizing your body so you can press more weight. Same reason why you can leg press, you know, 1,000 pounds and you can barely squat 135, because you are inherently more stable when you're in a leg press than you are when you're squatting, and you're relying on your body to stabilize the joint, the joints that are active in a squat versus a leg press when the actual machine is stabilizing you. So that was kind of a second thing that he was talking about, and I think that's the exercise that you're referring to. A third exercise they talked about is kind of isometric contractions, pressing your arm forwards and then backwards and forwards and backwards. And that's just neuromuscular excitation. So you're preparing your body and your system to accept the weight. And if that's in that sense, any warm-up should be able to do that, any proper warm-up anyway. You're preparing your body to activate. In the gym, we're trying to mimic the fight or flight response, basically, but we don't have anything that there's no fear or trauma, or something that you're fighting or flighting against. So that's why we use a warm-up in the gym. It's not only to prepare the joints and the blood flow, but also neuromuscularly to activate your system to prepare for work. So if that's the case, any good warm-up like, you know, the Inside Out DVD or a Magnificent Mobility, a lot of those types of exercises can do that. Finally, real quick, because I think I've rambled on for like 10 minutes now, what actually happens when you throw your arm out? I mean, throwing your shoulder out tends to refer to dislocation, and that would be trauma to the shoulder, and you've taken the shoulder out of its range of motion and caused it to be unstable. Throwing your arm out usually just means that you've strained your muscle, which can mean actual damage to the muscle itself, but usually that kind of, like, you know, a week of just really feeling lousy and you feel like you pulled something, that's exactly what you did. You just pulled a muscle. So is there any exercise immediately? I mean, sometimes soft tissue work can help for that immediate soft tissue damage. But otherwise, I mean, I really don't think that there's much that I could offer in that sense. You can try to biomechanically assess why you threw your shoulder out, what muscle was weak, and do all those kinds of things. But I don't know that that's something you can really do on your own necessarily. You may want to see a good soft tissue practitioner for that. And yeah, there you go.
Bomb. Knowledge bomb.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just rambling. I don't even know where it was with that.
Okay.
But yeah, I know. I mean, it was an interesting article, but I honestly, and it's without, you know, with utmost respect, I really don't, I think it's much ado about nothing in terms of that, quite frankly. I mean, I think it's merit. I mean, but it's the kind of thing where it's the saying, you know, don't look for the zebras until you've corralled all the horses. You know, so if I'm nice. Weak, yeah, I mean, if I'm weak in an area, you know, if I have a weak overhead press, well, let me see if I'm actually weak. And if I can't figure out why I can't get any stronger in a muscle, then maybe I'll consider things like nerve impingement or, you know, stuff like that. But really, I mean, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, you know what I mean? That's so, yeah.
No, it's very good. Very good. Well, Kevin, hi all. I'll get straight to the point. But first, I have to say that I love the show. I have a couple of questions. First, you talk a lot about clients having poor glute strength. How do I know if this applies to me, and what do I do about it? Are there any commonly weak areas that I should be looking for? Also, how do I go about finding a real, i.e. not commercial, gym? I'm in Chicago, so I know they exist, but I'm not sure where to start looking for them. Thanks for all the great information, Anna.
Well, that's a good question. I think we've hit on this a couple times in the past, but generally when I do my first assessments with clients, we take a look at a couple of things, and one good test that I found to analyze if you know glutes aren't firing properly are something like a walking lunge or overhead walking lunge or even if someone can't do that, like an overhead bodyweight squat, you kind of just take a look at the knees, see if they're caving in. I know John doesn't like this test, and we talked about it a while back because it's not necessarily indicative of weak glutes. But it's something simple that I can do, and it usually tends to be the case.
Glute medius.
Yeah, glute medius.
It can be weak glutes, just not necessarily glute medius.
Exactly. And,
which is fine. That doesn't really matter. It could be a weak ear for all I care, as long as you get stronger and fix it.
Sure, yeah. But a couple things in terms of strengthening your glutes. Just make sure, watch, you know, you can even watch yourself or have someone watch you do some of your lower body exercises, whether it be squats, deadlifts, even lunges, making sure you're getting your hips through and you're firing your glutes at the top of the movement. And just some simple exercise you can use to kind of teach yourself to do this is like pull-throughs with 1 second holds at the top, work rate, X-band walks, any kind of glute bridge where you can use some kind of progression in it. You can also use those for warm-ups. But, you know, what we generally see with women is that it tends to be common that they have weak glutes, as we've talked about in the past, with ACL injuries that we see, any kind of knee injuries, especially in with non-contact trauma to the knees in sports like soccer. We see a lot. So just make sure to keep an eye on that and make sure to stretch your hips because, you know, if your hips are really tight and you've got crazy anterior pelvic tilt issues at the time, that's going to be hindering you as well. John, feel free to drop anything else in there. And I'm going to have Lee hit on the gym question because she wrote a great article on it a while back. So, John.
Talk about
butts.
Oh, butts. I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny.
Epic fail, John. I'm not even going to say anything else.
The girl
walks
in with itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face.
You get sprung.
yeah, I mean, poor glute strength. If it applies to you, chances are, honestly, it probably does. Just if you're sitting for a long period in the day, your chances are you're in a position to weaken that area because you're not doing what the muscle is supposed to do, which is extending the hip. But yeah, I mean, it's just muscle testing is really what it is, and then testing within form. So exactly, I mean, I don't really have much to add because I think you hit it. I mean, if you're doing an exercise incorrectly and you can isolate the glute out and see that that's part of the problem or the cause of the problem, then you got weak glutes. But I mean, it is something important to point out that, on one hand, unless you know that this is the cause, you can't actually say that it is. So I could, you know, come in and say, oh, your knees are caving in, it must be weak glutes. But unless I can actually test that specifically, I can't say definitively that it's weak glutes. But I can say that you're doing something wrong, and by fixing the form, I'll probably fix the weakness. So I can make the assumption, oh, it could be weak glutes, could be lateral hamstrings, could be lateral quads. You know, I don't really know unless I'm able to, you know, offer some evidence to suggest it. But on the other hand, who really cares? Because as long as you fix your form and you get better at it, then you fixed whatever the problem was. So I don't think it's an issue of, you know, trying to figure out what the problem is, just figure out how to solve the problem. So if your knees cave in, you know, tie a band around your knees and force yourself to kick the knees out, you know, something like that. But having someone else's eyes there and someone that's experienced can definitely help.
And Lee?
Well, whenever you're trying to...
No, sorry.
whenever you're trying to find a gym in your area that's a little bit outside the box, you know, for one, the first thing that you can do is you can go to Google and you can type in gyms, and most gyms are still listed. You know, for example, in my area, I have tons of gyms listed, and the first ones that pop up are, of course, you know, Gold's Gym, YMCA, the scary place that won't let you grunt. But, you know, there's all those kind of places that are going to pop up immediately. If you look further down the list for local businesses, results for gyms in your area, you'll start to get into more kind of lesser-known offbeat gyms, and usually... the lesser known, smaller gyms and on-chains are going to be more focused on better training, less focused on, just machine work or cardio work, things like that. And you're going to get more of a variety. You can also, though, type in meets and things for your area and kind of get to know people. I believe that mindset is very important when it comes to training, and actually like networking and knowing people who are into the kind of training you want to do in your area is important. So what is it that you're into? Are you into powerlifting? Are you into strongman? Are you into martial arts? Like, what is it that you're into? And then look for meetup groups or type in things and search that for your area to see if there's, people that meet up for things like that, if there's any classes anywhere, or if there's any events happening. And then you can go to them and be like, hey, where do you guys train? What kind of facilities do you think that are good in this area? And people in your area are going to be best to tell you where to look. You just got to find the right people to ask that are in your mindset and the kind of people that you want to hang with. So that's what I would do. You can go to Google first, but I think that best to do is to look for things that you're interested in, what you want to do in training, and then maybe move from there.
Cool. On a side note, am I crazy to spend $200 on kettlebells? Is that a bad idea?
Not if you love them.
PerformBetter's having a huge sale right now, so I'm really...
You're tempted?
Yeah, because my club won't buy them, because we don't have... I mean, like, buy them so I can bring them to the club that I work at.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
I don't use kettlebells. I'm not a kettlebell person. So, for me, I don't know.
I mean, I just get so jealous of people on Facebook saying, yeah, I did a kettlebell workout on the beach while the sun was rising and the Jessica Simpson was tanning next to me.
That's true.
Hey, Lee, Jessica's got a question for you. She says that I love the show and I've been listening since the beginning. I have a question about how to lose muscle mass. I have been training weight programs and intervals for cardio for almost a year now. I've gone from 155 to 125. I'm 5'4". I don't know the body fat numbers, but I have lost a lot of fat and gained a lot of muscle. Now that I am the size that I want to be, I feel that some parts are too muscle-y for the look. That's how she spelt it. Muscle-y for the look that I want, specifically my shoulders, biceps, and calves. How can I lose some of that muscle mass but still remain active and maybe even continue to improve my fitness?
Well, it's a weird question to answer because it's very taboo in our industry to actually talk about losing muscle purposely.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's really actually pretty simple. How you lose weight is how you lose muscle as well. Atrophy is achieved by eating into muscle mass. So I don't really it's risky to talk about this without a lot of prefaces, but I'll just simply say that what do we need to maintain muscle? We need nutrients, we need protein, and we need exercise. What is the opposite of that?
Class.
The opposite of that is would probably
come on, Kevin,
be
you got this.
A high carbohydrate diet and no movement, right? And that's pretty much going to achieve what you want to have achieved. So, can you do that and maintain performance and conditioning? No, not more than likely. If you're challenging the muscle, you're going to more than likely maintain the muscle, even if you are pretty vicious with your, as much as people believe it's actually harder to lose muscle than people claim it is. Losing muscle is actually not the easiest thing to do. So what you may want to think about, and I'm just throwing it out there, but what you may want to think about is if your look is too hard and defined, you may want to think about adding fat and seeing if you like that look. Now, obviously you've lost it and you didn't like the look as it was, but to a point you have to look at the body and what you have to work with. With your stats at 5'4 and 125, it's not the bottom out for you, but considering that you have the muscle mass and the definition that you do, it's probably the bottom level. You likely can't lose a lot more weight or muscle. and like the way that, that you look very much. I don't know how much you'd like your look if you lost a lot of muscle. So I don't know. Really, it's your body and you can play around with it all you want. But the only way that you're really going to lose muscle is by not moving. Because a stale state is what creates the best of atrophy and then not eating any protein. And I don't know how I feel about advising that, but that's what it would take and that's what you would do. So,
and I want to apologize. I wasn't laughing at the question. I was laughing at something in the chat. I just want
to that's okay. I about read Lee to Kevin out loud. And you stopped me from that, but I had to say it even. Lee to Kevin.
What's up, Lee?
What's up, Kevin? So I see this phrase all over the place. Exercise.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry, what? Not to interrupt you. You know what she can do? She can do some trapeze exercises in Tetris.
In the cube.
In the cube.
In the cube.
In Tetris.
Yeah.
And that'll make her loose. Yeah.
That's
actually,
great.
No. That's exactly what you want to do. If you don't want muscle, follow that workout.
That's just very true.
Yeah.
The Tetris song.
So, Kevin, I see this phrase all over the place. Exercising without accurately monitoring your intensity is like driving a car without a speedometer. How true is this? Could the FitCast team please discuss the necessity of heart rate monitors? When, if ever, is it necessary? And when is it just more gadgetry and distracting from the real goal, working out? On a related note, if you can get Mr. Fast to go off on one of his tangent where he morphs into Dr. Fast, that would be great. Love it when Dr. Fast starts hurling knowledge like 500-ton nuclear warheads. I walk away singed, but smarter. Mark.
I have no response to that.
Lee Pill likes this.
Lee Pill. Battle for Leppel Hill.
All right, guys, let's talk about some heart rate monitors. This is very interesting because a lot of people ask us. They come up to the trainers and ask about this at the gym that I work at, and I got a couple simple answers. And that's first off, if you're weight training, depending on your goals, if you're weight training to get stronger or for fat loss, if your programming is pretty accurate, you're going to be getting your heart rate up there pretty high anyways, close to that 80% range, 80-85%. If you're doing any kind of cardio that's programmed where you're supposed to be in a heart rate range, sure, that's gonna be beneficial for you to have that heart rate monitor. The ones on the piece of equipment are not entirely accurate, at least from what I've seen. And it's worth usually the $45 for the heart rate monitor. But, you know, again, for intervals, sure. And Mike Boyle talked about this a while back about, John, you were there, about using, not using time for interval training. And we know how big of a fan Lee is of interval training. We'll talk about that too. But how Mike Boyle talked about not using times for interval training, like a 2-to-1 ratio for rest to work, but instead using heart rate to determine length of rest in between those intervals. And to be fair, what Mike was talking about was with hockey players. And I wasn't throwing Lee under the bus. She and that was talking about fat loss when she was talking about intervals. And obviously, it's worked quite well with what she's done for me. But
Let me interject. Big difference between interval training and high intensity.
Exactly. That's what I was
saying. That's all I'm gonna say. Big difference.
It's as big as the states that divide us, Lee.
Shut up, John Fass.
Massive states.
Massive.
You guys suck.
Go listen to the off-topic, folks.
Continue, Kevin.
But anyways, I was just gonna say that heart rate monitors are a necessity for 95% of the people that are gonna step into a gym. No, but the people that I have seen wear them in my gym, was one guy doing CrossFit. I have to say this story real quick because it made me cry in front of my client and just give really nasty looks to someone. But again, nothing against CrossFit. CrossFit, go balls out, go for it. But a guy doing clean, bouncing back between cleans and deadlifts with the he had the form of a guy with a broken arm and no lumbar spine whatsoever. He looked like he was a fish. And guys, what are you doing? I mean, if you're going to do this, at least do this correctly. Just stop, because it makes me pissed off and I have to tell my client, like, yeah, you're lucky you don't look like that.
And then you have to edit out the FitCast.
Do I have to? Did I say something?
No. I guess it was okay. You used slang for gentlemen's testicles and...
balls is not a swear. It's like baseballs.
Yes, that is exactly the same.
That's what I meant. I meant baseballs.
And you know, to think that everyone thought that the show would lose something by you not swearing, I think it's added a whole new world to fun.
It has.
Really has.
What do you guys think about heart rate monitors? And John dropped the bomb too. Oh no, I want Lee to go first, but then John.
Oh, okay. I use them in more specific, you know, situations when it's more performance based. Majority of time speaking, I don't use them all the time. I use them if there's a client that has obviously like any sort of, you know, health condition in it and we need to be a little bit more careful, or if we're working on something that's, you know, more performance based and we're trying to get into ranges and test thresholds, things like that. But for the most part, I would say that, you know, I'd say probably 85% of my clients, I, you know, after the initial and assessments and we, I do reassessments and things like that. But after that initial time when we're just kind of training with them, I don't personally use them. But I know some people that are very adamant about using them a lot and often. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it or anything like that. I don't think it's like a bad thing to use them. But I would say that probably most of the time, you know, the majority of time speaking, I don't use them on my clients while we're training.
John, I'm in the shelter if you want to go.
Oh, the bomb shelter. Yes. No, I have nothing. I mean, I you know, I think if it becomes more important with an aerobic activity than anaerobic, it can be kind of difficult to use. You know, if you're weightlifting and you're wearing a heart monitor, that's kind of tough. It's probably not going to be very accurate. But I do agree with the idea that in general you need something. You need to be able to gauge your workouts through something. So, you know, if you're weightlifting, you can use ratings of perceived exertion, which is just, you know, a scale that you use. But, I mean, that can be tricky because it's like a self-reporting, but at least it's something. And, of course, the weights that you're using, the rest times, all those play into the intensity that you're using in a workout. When you're dealing with aerobics, you know, with running and sprinting, then exactly. I think that heart rate can be useful, but you've got to make sure that you're using your own heart rate. You can use the predictors, you know, like the Carvonin or whatever, but they tend to be pretty inaccurate for most people. So you may fall into those ranges or you may not. So you can start there, but then actually see what you're able to produce. And for the average person, I think that's fine. You know, so if you want to use a heart rate, just like you said, Kev, that what Mike Boyle had talked about as far as using your heart rate and using that to determine rest periods and stuff, I think is makes a good deal of sense, because it's a good objective measure of where you're actually at in terms of your rest period, in terms of your ability to do further work. But you know, I think that you don't have to go too crazy on any of these things. I mean, you could use a heart rate monitor. You could just stand there and check your radial pulse. I mean, it doesn't have to be crazy rocket science or knowledge bombs. Hmm. Just do something that works for you and stay consistent with it.
All right. I did it. I just placed an order on performbetter.com.
Nice.
I'm going to give it a shot. It's only $200. It's a really good deal that they got going on right now. Oh, well, I'll report next week. Hey, John.
Yes, Kevin.
I want to ask you a question about barefoot training. What are your thoughts on barefoot training? I tried jumping barefoot, but it was too painful, so I'm jumping rope in socks in the meantime. I've been deadlifting in flip flops, and I do feel like it made a difference in my form in a positive way. I recall seeing Arnold squatting with flip flops on, and I've read some recent articles about training barefoot or with flip flops, and I wanted to get your 2 cents. Thanks, Matthew.
I think we talked about this, what, like 2-3 weeks ago or something. It was like a related question. Yeah, in general, same kind of answers there. I mean, there's in terms of weightlifting, there's probably a biomechanical advantage because you're lower to the floor, and that's why guys like lifting in Chuck Taylors or perhaps barefoot. But the same thing that I said last time, same thing applies here. We may be designed to go barefoot, but if you're just starting to do that and you've been walking for 25 years in shoes, then the structure of your foot has changed. The intrinsic muscles of your foot that are designed to support the foot as you walk, and the biomechanics of the foot are crazy. So there's a lot of muscle activity. There's a lot of things that are supposed to be going on. And if you have been using shoes all this time, sneakers or whatever, then this has changed. You have different support in the arch. You have different requirements of muscle activation. So you're not going to be able to just go from shoes one day to barefoot the next, most likely. And people will actually become injured this way. And I've actually treated people that said, oh, you know, I read this article. It said to go barefoot running. I bought barefoot, you know, shoes, those five fingers or whatever they're called, and now I can't walk. So it's not a bad idea, but you have to train into it just like you would anything else. And I think that's the mistake that most people make. But otherwise, there's some decent research in terms of aerobic stuff, and I've never seen anything in terms of weightlifting, someone barefoot training and weightlifting. I'm sure it's out there. I've never seen it. So try it, see if it works. And I would recommend that jumping barefoot is probably not a good idea to start off with.
Also, make sure that your gym allows you to train barefoot, because you don't want to get kicked out. Hey, Lee, I got one more for you. What are your thoughts on just chocolate milk as a post-workout drink for a natural bodybuilder wanting something effective and affordable? That's from Chris.
Holy crap,
Tony, right?
Yeah, did we lose Sean?
Thunder.
Did Sean get struck by the lightning?
He just got sent back in time.
I watched Back to the Future yesterday. That did happen.
Oh, God, Lee, I love you, man. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, I'm just throwing it out there, and I thought of you the whole time. Okay, well, since we lost John, and John, if you're floating around in little particles somewhere, I'm sorry. I loved you. Yeah, chocolate milk as a post-workout drink is excellent. I think that it's one of the best and cheapest sources. I am going to throw some love to my Alan Argon. He is probably the lover of all lovers of chocolate milk post-workout. And he's done some great stuff in his research review talking about it in a comparison article between that and Surge. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get more in-depth research on that, I would definitely check out the research review. But in general, you get your protein, you get your carbohydrates. It's just a win-win, and it's cheap. And, some people say, oh, well, it's milk. Well, that's a debate for another show. But, if you have any sort of lactose intolerance issues with milk, there's like lactate in chocolate or certain kind of chocolate milks that are free of that. And you can give that a shot. And if not, then, hey, you can just try something else. You know, there's always other options, but yeah, I'll keep it short. Thumbs up on the chocolate milk post workout.
Cool.
So John's still gone.
Yep. No, I'm here.
Oh, hi. You're back.
Hi, I am.
What year did you go to?
I went to 1984.
What was that like? Did they play the theme for
Back to the Future?
Beverly Hills Cop. Actually, that was 85 that it came out.
85? Well, I was wondering why everyone was wearing life preservers.
Actually, that would have been common back in the mid-80s, but that's okay, yep. John.
No problem.
Well, Kevin and company. What up, Lee? Why does it say that? I don't know why it says that. Okay. I love the deadlift, but I'm having a problem. The grippy part of my gym's brand spanking new trap bar is like coarse grit sandpaper. Ah, yes. Many calluses will be born on that one. Between the rough grips and the amount of weight I'm pulling, my sets leave my hands shredded. Blister under calluses, and they never heal before the next deadlift workout. I've thought about wearing gloves, but I can't quietly mock people for wearing gloves if I'm wearing them too. Today, in a back corner of the gym, I found these little straps with metal hooks. You wrap them around your wrist and then hook them under the bar, trap bar grips. I gave them a try, and not only did it help my hands, but it also weighed the weight that I could pull feel much lighter. Clearly, this is a cheat, and I'm not feeling real proud, but at the same time, with the weight I'm lifting, my hands never get healed. Can you guys tell me how using the grips alter the effects in the lift and tell me if I'm negating the total body impact of the deadlift? Is it enough to just add more weight? I could tell my forearms weren't getting the same workout. Thanks, guys. I look forward to your podcast every week. Keep up the good work. MT. Word.
Yeah, you know what? This is usually an issue, and not to, like, take shots at I think it was his name's Matt, but not to take a shot at you, but mostly this is a complaint for my female clients, but this is something
wow.
that's worked sorry something that's works really well, something called Lynx grips, and I have clients that use them for virtually every exercise that we do where they have to hold weight in their hands, whether it be lunges, whether it be, or I should say that the weight is dead. They're kind of holding it by the side of their body, and they're not pressing it. And the Lynx grips work fantastically for making it much easier on your hands, and it's not tearing up your hands every set, and you're not left with calluses that will give you the clear definition of man hands if you are a female, or just like carpenter hands if you are a male. In terms of also working on just the grip, you can always go back and use the old standard of chalk. You can get it from Perform Better, if you're lucky, if you have like a sporting goods store, like a Dick's Sporting Goods, or I don't know what else is out there, Olympia Sports, and that will just help with the grip. And you know what I would say is that I wouldn't call it a cheat. You know, if you really want to, if you want to deadlift a crap ton of weight, use straps. It's not going to be a big deal. What you're not going to be doing is as much work with your forearms, and if you want to, you can just do that elsewhere in your workout by using stuff like towel pull-ups. Towel pull-ups are the hardest thing you'll ever do in terms of forearm work. You don't have to do that stupid-ass exercise that every gym has, that little rod where they're just rolling they're just turning their wrists like they're revving up a motorcycle. You don't have to do that with a nice 5-pound plate at the end of the rope. You can get stuff like Tyler grips, which add a huge amount of thickness to things like dumbbells, where you can do things like hammer curls. So guess what? You can also get in some bicep work. And it'll make it a lot harder to grip the dumbbells on. Someone also sent in a... John, why are you retyping all my answers? Because I say I mean a lot and
No, I liked how you started this whole thing off. Now, listen, pal, no offense, but,
but you're
my
a chick.
Girls, yeah, you're a chick.
Well, all I'm saying is that.
I mean, usually the guys just shut up. I mean, you know, they don't complain about this stuff.
I'm serious, but if it's...
I love Kevin just managed to alienate every one of our listeners.
How is that alienating our listeners? Because I'm being a D-I-K?
Oh.
It's just...
Does it count if we spell it?
And I didn't spell it correctly either, so no, it doesn't.
No, you didn't.
D-I-star-K. And...
I star.
I'm gonna start saying all my cuss words with the star.
Like F star
parentheses K.
Yeah, you know, I do have male clients that also it bumps their hands, and I will have them use straps, especially if it's like we're doing heavy doubles or singles. You know, sometimes they just can't hold on to the bar because their lower body is... Oh, God, why is it not picking up my... Sorry if this sounds really low. I'll turn on my volume a little bit. But, yeah, just use wraps. It's not that big of a deal. You're not in a powerlifting meet, and just get the work done elsewhere. It's especially if it's just for you and it's not for, you know, seeing how much you can lift at a competition or a meet. Do feel free if anyone else has anything to add to that, but that's just how I feel.
Use paper towels. It'll reduce the intensity of the grip.
Okay. So you're saying you don't have to spend $10 on Lynx grips or $40 on Tyler grips?
No.
Or fat grip. Fat grips is another one, but
the,
it's got
the
more
brown, like old style school paper towels
yeah.
are excellent.
Just wrap it around the bar. It'll
not
soak
as
up
cool,
your sweat
though.
and it'll take some of the edge off the bar grip.
All right, John. All right, let me get ready for this.
All right.
Oh, y'all. Oh, question. A personal question related to how to break up with your trainer in a good way. I've been training with a gentleman for the last year who had done a good job in regards to getting me into working out. I lost a bunch of weight in 2008 in medical ketosis. It's just the same.
Wow, Kevin.
Hey, it's Daisy Day.
I never knew you could sound like that.
Oh, medical ketosis program with no exercise. He followed up by getting me addicted to the exercise.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, sorry, I just got to the... If you've seen South Park, the episode where the clones come from the future, it's like, hey, Dicker Jams! All right, that's a reference that three people will get.
Cricket.
But I'm fine. All right, anyways...
To all of our listeners from the South, Kevin was actually requested to try that in his Texas accent.
Yeah, that's not my fault. I'll finish up with British, though.
You may send all your angry emails to Kevin@thefitcast.
He recently told me he is going independent. He currently works for a gym. He wants me to follow him. However, I do not feel like it is in my best interest to do so. How do I tell him that I want to stay at the current gym, close to home, and not hurt his feelings, hurt his chances of being successful independently? $1 a minute is a lot to pay to have someone screw around for 20 minutes, but I do love the guy and don't want him to offend him. By the way, insert obligatory, you guys are great. All right. Hey, John. You know how? What do you tell our southern friend? Who also seems to live in England.
Just in case none of the listeners could make any concept of what you just said. The question is that the listener has a trainer. The trainer is leaving the gym like him or her. I don't know who even wrote this question, but. Would like the listener to follow, and he or she does not want to hurt his feelings. Actually, I guess since maybe I don't know. Okay, so honestly, I would tell him the way that you wrote the question out. Just say that, you know what, you're happy where you are, and you don't want to change gyms. I mean, I think it's, you know, be direct, be upfront. Don't necessarily try to make up any stories. You just don't have to be mean about it, you know. Just be like, you know what, I've been here, I'm very comfortable in the gym, you know, let's keep in touch, but you know, I want to stay here. I mean, or you could even go in and say, you know what, I've worked with you so long, I feel confident in what, you know, I can do right now. I don't know that I still need a trainer. I mean, any good trainer should be training their clients so that they don't need them forever. I mean, so, you know, if your trainer is any good at all, I mean, you should be used to that, basically. So it's always a proud, you know, bittersweet but proud moment when a client says, you know what, I've learned so much and I think I'm good. And you go, great. You know, so I don't think you have to overthink this. Just let them know, hey, great working with you. Good luck to you. But I'm going to stay where I'm comfortable. And no one's going to call foul for that.
Are you cool?
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree. Like, I think any good trainer, like for me myself, I don't ever think twice about losing a client unless it's like some sort of weird circumstance. Like, I don't think twice about it. If I, you know, if me and clients, if we part ways, it's always, you know, under good terms. And it's like, hey, you know, because I try and there's some clients I have or that I've had that are for, you know, just support. They just like training with someone. They just like being in the gym with someone. And they don't really necessarily need me anymore. But, you know, they like the camaraderie of it, you know. And and some people just love that. And they're always going to love that. And, you know. There's, you know, no issue with that. But the majority of my clients, I'm there to just teach for a little while and then send them on their way. You know, they get their information, they learn what they need to do, and then they're done. So I think that if this guy is any sort of a good guy, then he'll completely understand. And not to mention, I mean, you have some like solid reasonings too. I mean, this is your gym. You know, he's leaving. You're staying. I mean, there's really a lot of valid reasonings there anyway, just from an economical standpoint. So, yeah, I would be straightforward as well. And if he's a good guy, then he'll have no problem with that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that will do it. Tom Venuto will probably be on next week, and I apologize that we haven't weren't able to get him all. It's been just some scheduling issues. We're gonna get that stuff straightened out, and we're holding on to your questions, and we'll eventually have him on. It's gonna be an awesome discussion about natural bodybuilding, and Tom's got some really awesome stuff to talk about. So make sure to stay excited about that because it will be coming. So, guys, what do you think? Do you think that's it? That's all that's in the outline, but that, you know.
Yeah. I think the coffee wore off on me about 40 minutes ago.
Yeah, you only repeated your answers like 14 times.
It wasn't like the usual 23.
Reiterate. Mm. And you were able to write out my answers multiple times.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, enjoyed that?
I enjoyed that personally.
You should be one of those people at the courts who types up all that. A typer stressed.
You know, when I was younger, that's what I wanted to grow up to be, a typistress.
Some people want to be spacemen. Some people want to be typistresses.
Leppel Hill typistress.
Yep.
Leppelhill.com. Mm-hmm.
.com.
Check it out.
Your typistress source.
Yeah.
For typistry.
Satisfying all your typistress needs.
All right.
All right.
John, do you want to give it a pink dumbbell award?
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Oh, by the way, Kevin, you didn't play the music.
No, you
didn't play it. Even after I called you out on it, and you're like, I play the music.
What are you talking about? Last week? Or 2 weeks ago?
Or whenever. Yeah, you didn't play the music. So
it just played, so leave.
So,
no, it's the real stuff. No,
oh,
the real stuff. Yeah, it's for real.
For really real?
For really, yo.
Real, son.
She gets it.
Be real.
You know, I had one picked out before.
I think Lee did, too. I don't know
What'd you think, Lee?
You know, I think we should give the pink dumbbell to the guy that alerted us to the Tracy Anderson video.
Yeah. So here we go. Let's see. Mark Ivey.
Oh, Mark sent that?
Oh, that was nice.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What up, Mark?
Should I know who Mark
is? Yeah.
He's I'm posting online.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, the trainer in, where is he now?
I don't know.
He had moved like a couple of years ago. I forgot where
he moved. I just see the shirtlessness. Forgiven.
Yeah.
Loving guy.
Gotcha. You know, I was going to mention, we get like literally 200 clicks to the fitcast.com to that Oprah video every month. Every month.
Wow.
People really love that stuff. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up because...
are we going to really wrap it up?
No, seriously, we're going to end the show right now because...
This is kind of a quick show. Usually...
Yeah.
Maybe I should stop drinking coffee before we record. We might get out of here in like an hour.
Yeah, no brown tea.
But then we do things like this that make it drag on longer.
Yeah, we do.
Do it.
Do it. Milk is for babies, Louis.
Damn it, I was supposed to watch that movie.
Pumping Iron? Oh, yeah, you didn't watch
Yeah, no,
Sohan.
No, no. It just made me think of the other thing. The Sohan? Is that what I'm supposed
dude,
to watch?
Sloan, oh, yeah. Okay.
You don't watch Sohan?
No, I haven't seen it, and I was going to watch it before I came on the next show. So I'll do it. I'll do it this week.
Sloan, if you're listening to the FitCast, send me an email.
And address it to me. He can just pass it forth.
No, John, I appreciate you giving me an email address at your website, too.
No problem.
And I'll post links up for John's new website at the ROA website.
Probably not that one.
No, oh, that's like your week. I get it. You want to keep people out.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to talk about another thing with Tom Venuto. That there's this huge. Everyone's talking about insulin spiking and surging now. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that, too. So, talk to you guys later. Don't forget to check out thefitcast.com. Don't forget to check us out on iTunes. Submit a review mentioning how great the sound effects are on the show, please, so we can get more listeners. And don't forget to check out Jonathan Fass at acceleratedstrength.com and Lee Peel at leepeel.com. Take care. And, John, here, you can have the last word for once.
I don't want the last word.
All right, see you next week. All right, welcome to the off-topic discussion for this week's show. Kevin, Lee, and John are here. And first thing...
Ooh, third person.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing myself.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Kevin now addresses himself in the third person. Jonathan Fass approves.
Lee Phil thinks that's funny.
I'm just reading from the script, John. Have you guys heard of a movie called Fired Up?
No, but I'm fired up to hear about it.
It's got the guy who played Larry from Dumb and Dumber. he also was in that Zach Braff movie, not the one about
Daniel.
No, huh? It's a young guy. He's very young. Well, they're playing high schoolers. So it's these two high school football players. I know you guys have seen commercials for this or something, but it was two high school football players who want to go to cheerleading camp to basically bang as many girls that aren't at their high school, because out of the 3,000 people at their high school, they've already had sex with all the women they want to have sex with. So they decide to go to a cheerleading camp for some, new targets or whatever. And it's like a solid 2 out of 5 stars, but it had some laughs. It's worth checking out if you can get it on demand on Comcast. Fire it out. It's not good for discussion because you guys haven't seen it.
No.
Crank 2 is awesome.
Wow.
Big F you to Tony Gentilcore.
Yeah.
Who doesn't think it's a good movie and thinks he's better than everyone else because he likes stupid ass independent films.
Obviously, he's insane.
Hence why I kicked him off the show for good.
Good.
Is that why he's gone now? His YouTube's disagreements on movies?
No, it's because he likes to run sprints shirtless upstairs on Sundays, so he can't. That's not a joke. If I called him right now, he wouldn't have a shirt on, Lee. So, I don't think he can do the show. What else do I got? Oh, I got some music for you people out there. This is, I listen to some, like, it's not like chick music, but it's not as, like, super manly. It's not Rise Against all the time. When I'm outside of the gym, I like to listen to regular music. And there's like a couple new bands that I want to mention for people who might like alternative rock, which is, I guess, what it will be classified as. But have you guys heard of, well, first, The Cure is always good. I mentioned that a while back. But
Cure, yeah, that's a good one.
Company of Thieves.
Hmm.
Female singer, and again, this is, it's a very weird trend where I usually don't like, you know, alternative rock groups with female lead singers, but now I'm a huge fan of Paramore, which also has a lead female singer. But Company of Thieves, and I want you guys to all, everyone should really listen to this song. It's incredibly good. It's called Oscar Wilde, and it's outstanding. Company of Thieves, check it out. You can watch, listen to it on YouTube. John, I already have a chat open, but that's...
Yeah, I saw that.
Good for you.
Thank you. Good for everybody.
But check that out. And also, one other one, a band called Phoenix. And their new song called 1901.
I like Phoenix.
So check that out. Again, it's another one of those alternative rock bands that just seems to, you know, it's nice to listen to when you're just getting work done or you're driving and you don't want to have to listen to angry My Mother Didn't Love Me music, as Cressy puts it quite well.
Yes, you can instead listen to sad My Girlfriend Left Me music.
Yeah, well, Phoenix isn't necessarily...
I'm just
like
kidding.
That.
I love Phoenix. I love Phoenix ever since they had a song called Too Young in the Shallow Hal movie. And that's that was the first time I ever heard Phoenix, and I checked them out from that. I like them a lot. They're a good band.
Very cool. John, I'm not going to read that. And John, people do care what I'm talking about. You know what? You know what's really scary is the amount of emails, Facebook comments, Facebook messages, and Twitter messages that I got after we didn't have a show last week.
Really?
I'm like, come on, guys. There's no. Wait, God. Oh, it's really not an inside joke that we're laughing about, but I don't think we're...
No, not at all. I didn't just talk.
That's very public.
So to the audience, I think as it's been explained before, we do have messaging going on, so there's some semblance of order to this chaos that we call the FitCast. Most of the time we just use it to use the swear words that we're not allowed to use on the show anymore. So that's sometimes if one of us starts cracking up and you think we're crazy, that's why.
Yeah.
And we just said that.
Just had a guess. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
But yeah, guys, sorry, but there's, I'm not going to snap at you too much, but there's also like 300 hours of audio that we've done besides the, or like a good 250 that you can listen to, and I'm sure you haven't listened to all of them.
You know what, Kevin? That's a like, huge assumption.
Like some classic John Williams. Who doesn't like some classic John Williams?
That's true.
Talking about cooking
and you know, even the best of TV shows have reruns. You know, you can pull out an oldie and listen to it again.
Yeah, like I've been going through my old Stargate SG-1 DVDs.
I mean, that's worth listening to over and over again.
That's true.
I keep it in my car.
Hello, FitCast. This is Kevin Larrabee.
I'm also a robot now.
And I'm recording from Texas.
Well, yeah, we got that this week. We have a request. I guess people have already heard it, but we have a request for me to do a Texas accent, so that's going to be interesting.
I'm really looking forward to it. I want you to know that.
It's going to be a British person who's been living in Texas for the last 3 or 4 years.
So will it be like, hello, this is Kevin Larrabee, y'all? Is that what it's going to be?
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. This is Kevin Larrabee. And I'm talking to you on top of a horse 'Cause I'm a cowboy.
That's good. Oh boy. Let's see. I've also been playing a football game that's 6 years old, which is fun. Not going to talk about that though. You guys don't care. No. Oh, I got what's it called? I got Arnold Schwarzenegger's DVD for $5 on Amazon.
Righteous.
You know what? What am I talking about?
Pumping Iron.
Pumping Iron was $5, a special edition, 25th anniversary on Amazon.
Have you watched it yet?
I watched like the first 10 minutes, and then I had a head out, so I wasn't able to finish it. But I'll probably watch it later this week. I got to the part where he was doing like ballerina stuff, learning to pose for his competitions and stuff.
Isn't that in the beginning?
Yep.
Yeah, that's very.
Well, I'm just referencing stuff that I remember off the top of my head. So, I had a piece of popcorn stuck in my teeth for like 3 days. Is that what he says?
Your kiss for babies, Louie.
Hey, Lee, what's up?
What's up, Kevin?
You've been, like, watching any good stuff?
I haven't. I haven't seen anything at all. Last night, I watched Miracle again with some people. It was on at a friend's house. That's about it. And I got all inspired by a hockey movie and an outcome that I knew that was going to happen. Nice. And almost bawled like a baby. Those movies do it to me. They bring out my humanity.
Freddie Perens Jr. makes me cry a lot.
Is that how he says this? I thought it was Prince.
Whatever.
Wow. This is going to be a great weekend. Like, you can always tell the quality of the FitCast that we're about to do by the amount of fail that Kevin's had in the off-topic. This one could be epic.
Hey, you know what? There's some cool new miniseries on NBC or ABC tonight. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It's like a space thing.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, fuck. Shoot. Whatever. I'm going to keep that in. I'm not editing that out. Defying Gravity is what it's called. Without defying gravity.
Oh, that was great.
Don't listen off topic with your kids. Don't do it. This is for your private time. You go listen to this.
It's for your private time.
Yeah, you go in the bathroom, you lock the door.
You really? Because that's where I was going to, but you just went there. You took us to the bathroom, didn't you?
Yes, guess so.
You let
in my private time, I listened to Kevin Larrabee and John Fassbender.
Oh, I had a dream about Lee.
Oh, really?
Lee Peel was in my dreams.
Tell me I was in a bikini hot and running.
There was some sexual overtones, I think, but...
Really?
But we haven't really met, so that's kind of weird. Oh.
Well, do anything? Cliff Notes?
I mean, nothing, you know, nothing worth calling home about happened. I mean, I'm just saying... It was just weird because it was, I think I emailed Lee about this. It was like we're on vacation on like a beach resort, like up in New Hampshire or Rhode Island or something like that. And all I knew is that we were sharing a room, separate beds. But the like, oh God, I'm not going to talk about this because it gets weird.
Yeah, we'll I was just lounging back, getting ready, and I mean, I'm hot in the Hamptons. Vacay. This sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm down.
Wow, all right. Did you hear that? That's thunder and lightning outside right now.
It's funny, it just started raining outside my house, too.
See?
Which is kind of weird, considering that we're, like, massive states away.
We are massive states away.
Dude, I'm so tired.
Those states aren't just like medium. They're
okay,
massive.
You know what?
They're big ass states.
Big states. I think I don't know. There's some kind of Virginia between us or Carolinas or something. Massive.
I'm not talking for like the rest of the show.
When Europeans come to visit our great nation, they're like, oh, look at this. These are massive states. It's amazing.
All right.
All right, time to record the show.
Yeah, let's do it. Take that shit. All right.
My head actually hung in shame.
Shame? Did you have that shame look?
It was hanging. I was looking down. It wasn't even purposeful. That's how crucial it was.
Yeah. The puppy pisses on the couch and you call them out on it and they hang their head in shame. That's the way I'm picturing
that was
it.
That was where I was going in my vision. Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's where I went. I related that whole massive state thing to a dog pissing on a couch. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I went.
I am dog sitting right now, so.
All right. I'm going to stop recording right now.
Well, you do that.
Now.